weeks.
Oh God, how long does it go for? Or do you just this meeting is being recorded? Yeah, I know.
Yep.
Continue.
It just had that. Yeah. Yeah, we usually aim for like about an hour or so.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sometimes Let's we go over, sometimes we go under. We just kind of roll with it. And along the way, we don't know what we're doing. So.
Yeah, speaking of which, sorry, I need to go cut bait.
Nope, this that sounds like my entire
Speaking
life.
Of my fancy setup.
It's falling apart as we speak.
Okay, I'm just going to make it work.
Nice.
That's what we do here. We just make it work. Okay, here we are.
All right. We got it. We're lined up.
Yeah. Ready for... Boy. Hello, welcome to Fueled by Lore. This is a podcast. I did it. We're people. I don't know.
I always forget, like, I've never done this before, so I feel like it's a I'm gonna have weird cadence or something. Do I introduce myself next?
We don't know.
We barely introduce ourselves. Like,
yeah.
Well, you
like
guys are
get
the
going.
Podcast creators. So.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like you listen to any kind of podcast and you're like, "Welcome to Fueled by Lore. I'm Patrick, your host, and joining me today, blah blah blah," and then I'm just like. We just, like, talk and
okay.
throw it out there, and people are like, okay. And to all 17 of the people who listen, which
yeah.
are pretty much just the people who are on the podcast, it's, you know,
no,
we'll have a good time.
That's fun. Once upon a time, Zach got this little, like, table card stack that was called Table Topics. And back in the college days, we would just smoke the devil's lettuce and discuss those table topics. And we joked at one point, like, oh, yeah, this would be a great podcast. And we did record it once, and we went back to listen to it. We got 5 minutes in, and immediately we're like, this is terrible. So I'm sure you guys have a little bit more skills because it sounds like at least 15 to 20 people are tuning in.
What, 20 guests at this point? So, yeah, maybe 20-ish. Yeah, yeah.
Something.
Plus a few other. Some more change.
Sure.
Just gotta keep it going. But those table topic cards sound fantastic. If we ever hit a lull, I'm going to get me a set of those.
Well, and they covered some, like, some of them were really lighthearted and normal, like, I don't know, like, what's better? I can't even think of a comparison right now. Bottom line, some of them were lighthearted and some of them were, like, existential moral questions of just, like, who you are as a person. And so it's like, do you agree with the death penalty or do you like the color blue?
So, all right, great places to start for the podcast. Tell us how you feel about those, Jillian. No, I'm just
no.
Oh, man. That reminds me, I got drunk one night and ordered this game called The Shame of Life, which was advertised to me on Instagram. I've yet to play it, but sounds like it's about the same kind of thing where this like couple created like a bunch of questions and something, and it's kind of like a mix between like table topics, like you were saying, and Cards Against Humanity, where you kind of vote on like the best response or something like that. I don't know exactly. I have a box of cards that says The Shame of Life on them, and I have yet to use them, is the point of that story.
That's pretty funny that you would vote on someone's, like, responses and moral standings. Like, I don't like your opinion, so I'm just not going to vote for you. It's like, oh.
It's the perfect game for Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves good family-fueled chaos.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are a podcast called Fueled by Lore, which I think we are already breaking the record for how many times we have said the name of the podcast.
We are really influencing our brand.
Introduced
right now.
It. Yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm. So just to reiterate, we're Fueled by Lore, and today we're joined.
Wait, what's the podcast called?
I forgot. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Anyway,
check back next week.
Oh, God. I'm getting existential now.
Anyways, Fueled by Lore.
Yes. And today we've got Jillian with us. And Yay. Jillian, you work in pottery and everything, and you just launched your own studio recently, right?
Yeah.
Did I say that correctly?
I mean, more or less. Artists, I feel like, would probably all agree in some capacity, you're always an artist, whether or not you have an official space for it or not. But I was able during the pandemic to both save up enough money and also crowdfund a bit of money to help me buy a kiln and a wheel to make it, quote unquote, official.
That's awesome. So
prior to that, I was kind of just more of a crafty person. Tried to get my hands in the mud when I could, mud being clay. Mm-hmm. And I'm ever grateful for my studio setup. But yeah, and so nowadays I get to apply a lot of my learned techniques and skills that I've acquired over the years, both in formal and informal settings regarding clay, in my own studio. It's just kind of crazy now that it's all, can't say it's necessarily high risk, but it's moderate risk and moderate reward, because now if I try to do a glaze experiment that doesn't work out, it's my own kiln that it fucks up. So it's kind of like, it's not like firing at school where it's like, oh yeah, failures are encouraged. Now it's like, oh no, if you fail, you have to fully deal with the consequences.
Yeah.
So both pros and cons.
Yeah. I feel like that's such a unique kind of perspective or aspect to basically like your craft in general, because like with music, like I fuck up at concerts like all the time, you know, if it's even back in the day when it was like academically sanctioned or if it's just on my own. And like it's a little bit different, whereas like, oh, this thing that I practice for kind of just turned out kind of funny is how it usually turns out. I can be kind of embarrassed or I can kind of embrace it. But I feel like with, you know, with firing and a kiln and stuff, that's, you know, a whole bunch of resources that you had to pay for, you had to prep and everything. That's a whole bunch of time. And then if it kind of, you know, goes awry, that's a little bit bigger deal than the fact that I forgot the words to a verse in a song at a show. So is that kind of daunting whenever you approach each project, or?
Absolutely. I have sketchbooks upon sketchbooks of just ideas out the wazoo. Like,
yes.
I have so many ideas. It's just, it's hard because so many of them don't ever see, like, their end result. They're, like, actual physical object, because it's just like, will this be worth the potential failures and the potential materials cost? Because it's kind of a, like, it's a weird push and pull in me, because, like, I love the environment. I literally got a degree in sustainability, and while it's both really provoked a large climate anxiety in me, just for having that knowledge of what we're doing to the world, and also loving a medium of art that is so hard on the planet, like, between the mining of the materials to the refining of the materials, just so they can get packaged and then end up in my studio. Not even mentioning like the actual firing, which, like, well, granted, it's not super expensive to fire in my kiln. It is insanely, like, just energy intensive. Like, I think my kiln has a rating of like 11.7 kilowatt hours. So that's like the max pull that it can take in an hour. And, in the grand scheme of things, that's not super expensive in the terms of like how XL distributes the electricity, but it's still just in the grand scheme of things, like thinking about that is hard. And even if I were to do a gas fired kiln, that would just take a totally different environment. So much propane, like it's, so it's definitely like, I love ceramics and I think it totally has a time and a place, and it will forever live in my heart and obviously in my present moment, because I can't put it down. But I also realize all of the potential hurdles to overcome. And there's actually a slight, I don't know what to call it, it's almost like a guilt that I have my own kiln, because I'll be honest, I don't pack it to the gills every time I fire it. Because mm-hmm. there's certain glazes that don't like to be crowded and all this stuff. So it's hard to really put it into perspective of just like, this is a total privilege to have the situation that I currently have. And that's honestly even put more pressure on the whole, like, make this hobby that's also your sanity, like, a lucrative business. And it's like, well, I agree with that, but I also, it feels weird putting that kind of pressure on my creativity. It's just, I'd rather just let it run free without any pressure of just like, oh, the public didn't want that idea, but they seem to like this idea that you're not really, that you don't really have your heart in. So it's a constant balance, just like everything else in life.
Yeah. That's a really tricky kind of like edge to balance on.
Yeah. What a tumultuous time.
Yeah, it is, definitely. But with that being said, while I am 100% identifying as like a potter and a ceramicist as my main medium for art, I totally love to experiment with everything else. Like, I've always really wanted to get into carpentry, but of course that would be like a whole nother studio setup and a whole nother like tens of thousands of dollars in materials and equipment. But I love practical craft.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love making things that are, I don't know how else to describe them, but basically like props in our daily life.
Mm-hmm.
Like things that you don't fully realize are always there, but they are. And like, I don't know, that's one of the things about ceramics that I love. Like, this isn't ceramic, but a cup. There are so many different ways that you interact with like a cup. The way you pick it up, the way it hits your lip, how the liquid flows into your mouth. And all that other stuff, the stability of it while you set it down. There's so much, and like most people don't think about that. It's kind of just they pick something up and they're like, oh, I like it, I'll buy it. Or they don't like the way it looks, so they don't even bother picking it up. Mm-hmm. And it's just a very weird sort of overlapping of passions in life. And it really all comes back to like intentional living. And just realizing where it all traces back to. And so ceramics is just my favorite way to express that. But I definitely love exploring other forms of art and craft, like carpentry and painting. And I've always wanted to be crocheting or knitting, but I have really bad carpal tunnel, so that gets tricky.
I love that, like, sense of just almost kind of like, it's kind of like a creative wanderlust almost, where it's just like, I want to try this and that and everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's a lot of people kind of tend to get clammed up and kind of don't go for it to try something new. And I think that as people who kind of can identify as artists and stuff, we kind of get a little bit of ahead of the curve on that, because we have been pushed into these uncomfortable situations, right? Where you're firing a kiln, like, what if it doesn't work out? What if I made a cup and it doesn't balance right? You know, what if I, you know, Beth, for like painting and stuff, if I like, you know, completely mess up like a streak or something, or like for me, what if I like, you know, leave my guitar or do something and like break something or play this note wrong or anything? So we kind of put ourselves into these uncomfortable situations that trying something new kind of gets a little bit more of like that childlike wonder that a lot of us try and chase. Does that make sense? So I feel like it's fun, and I feel like it's kind of consistent between all of us, where we're kind of like, oh, I want to try this new thing, and then we are kind of more likely to almost go do it. And so I think it's, you know, it's exciting to see other people be excited to try new things like that. And I feel really privileged and lucky that I had, you know, art in my formative years to kind of keep me interested in life, dare I say it, as corny as that is.
It's not corny at all. I mean, of course, I identify in that way as well, so it's of course I'm not going to make myself feel bad for being corny,
but, no, I'm
and
make it cheesy, make it corny.
Yeah, there was something that you said about like creative wanderlust. I have never heard it described in that way, because especially, I don't know if you guys are on TikTok, but there is a whole side of TikTok, ADHD TikTok. And it just, it makes me feel like I have ADHD, when in reality, of course, there's other things going on in there, but it's the whole hyperfixation thing that, like, I totally have those kind of episodes, but it's definitely more of a creative wanderlust that is, like, how can I express myself in different ways that are a little more attainable than going and throwing on the wheel and firing in the kiln? It's like, even just last week, I wasn't feeling so well, and I was waiting for a test to come back for COVID, and I was like, okay, how can I occupy my time? And I broke out the old embroidery floss and made some friendship bracelets, because, you know, I was at home, and I wanted to do something. So, it's definitely a large source of wanderlust and just admiration for any craft. Like, in the musical sense, like, since you're so musically talented, Patrick, I've always been blown away. I can just picture you in, like, a jam situation where you're just sitting there noodling away, kind of humming along, doing whatever. And I was, I played the cello growing up. So I was very, like, it was very kind of, like, strict and classical. Like, do not do anything that's off the sheet music. And so trying to get a grasp on what it's like to be creative in that, like, auditory musical sense is so foreign to me and just inspires such, like, a movement of visual creativity in me. It's like, I want to express myself in the same way as a musician noodling around on their instrument as I can just, like, painting whatever the heck comes to mind. Like, actually, I'm sitting here I'm on the floor in my bedroom, and it's right next to my painting box. And I have these boots. It's not a finished painting, and because I stopped once I got the wrong yellow. But it's literally just like,
oh my god, my
boots. I love that.
And it's like, I have these little square canvases. I got like a value pack of them, and it's another one of those things where it's like, find creativity where it's attainable for you. And I realize that I am in a seat of privilege that my attainability for the creative arts is a little broader than a lot of people. Like, I do have my clay studio, and that will, as long as it is available to me, will be my preferred method of creativity. But there's no point in pigeonholing yourself. Like, it's, if you want to express yourself, you can in any way that you feel like it. And also, I really wish I could somehow share with people that, like, if you don't have to be good.
Yeah.
Like, if you just enjoy it, just do it. Like, it doesn't have to be insta-worthy or whatever.
Yeah, I think, like, especially like you were talking about, like, pressures as far as climate awareness and effect from ceramics and stuff earlier. I think that's also, like, there's, like, a huge social pressure for, you know, there's two ways you can go about expressing this, like, publicly. And I think that there's like this pressure to always express yourself publicly, like, especially regarding like things that you make and create. And that's just not the case, because I feel like you could either be like, oh, look how good I am on like social media and stuff. Or you do the, oh, look how bad I am. And then in a month be like, oh, look how good I've gotten, which that I think is, and both of them are incredible to see, just because it's like inspiring to see what other people can do, because there's some like crazy things that, you know, people accomplish, and it's incredible to see that. Like, it's beautiful and wonderful to see that, but I think it also puts this pressure that that's what you have to do. And so one thing that I remember Alex said that I really liked was, she said that her grandma is the one who got her into like piano and music, and she was like, yeah, like, honestly, like, my grandma was good enough to be like a concert pianist and like perform, but then that just wasn't what she wanted to do. She just wanted to play piano to be, you know, good at, or just express herself and enjoy it. And I think that a lot of people forget that that's an option. And so I really liked hearing that from her. And then also, since she's going into music education and stuff, I think that the most profound and wonderful thing that she said was like, hey, my goal isn't to create the next Mozart, but I am trying to, you know, train music appreciators so that you can have like an outlet or like understand and appreciate the little things in music that, you know, you don't realize are always there. And I think that also kind of ties in with what you were saying about, you know, just everyday objects. Like, it made me immediately think about like the rocking chair out in the living room that my roommates brought in, and then I just like sit in to read all the time. And then we ended up with another chair, and like, oh, Pat, we got you a new chair. And it's just like those little things that you just kind of get glued to. And also it made me think about my never-ending coffee mug collection. And it's just like those little things, and you can tie it into any kind of art, like for painting and graphic design, like any kind of poster, any kind of sign, you know, even down to like some kind of design on a coffee mug or a bookshelf or something, or on a book cover. Like, so much went into that, and there's so much art around us all the time that I think that a lot of times we forget to stop and smell those flowers. So that started somewhere and ended somewhere completely different, and here we are.
Isn't that the point, though?
Like, that's true.
I like the conversational sort of non-interview deal we have going, because, like,
yes.
I was going to be honest, like, like I've said earlier, I totally identify as a potter and a ceramicist, but as we've already established, there's some kind of weird pressure around, like, now that I officially have a business and, like, my own studio, that it's like, I must create these constantly Insta-worthy things that, but in reality, social media is, I've identified, is pretty toxic for me. Like, those dopamine hits aren't good in the long run. So it's kind of like, I realize for my business's health, quote unquote, I need social media. But there's a level of vulnerability that I'm not quite comfortable with. And also the fact that, like, I almost want to call it like an influencer sort of, worship in today's society, where everyone feels like they need to talk to their camera and put it out there and put their ideas out there. It's like, of course, that's great, especially in the pandemic when we don't get to see each other face to face, and you do want to have like a more wide-reaching message or whatever. But at the same time, there are just so many other ways to go about that kind of just like intention, purpose.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. It's the social media thing has never really hit home for me. It's just it's a necessary evil, and I like it, but I hate that I like it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That resonates with me, because, like, it's like this weird struggle where I've gotten to the point where I cut social media very effectively, and just, you know, I was very clear and, like, happy about it. But then at the same time, like you said, like, it's for the quote-unquote health of your business, or, like, for the health of, you know, me getting music out there, or promoting a show, or this or that or the other thing. It's just, like, it's necessary for reach, and I hate that.
Yeah.
It's just so weird, because, like, if I could just kind of, I don't know, it's such a weird balance, like, again, like, standing on the edge, because, like, I want to stay connected with people, and, like, honestly, like, one of the big pros of social media is my old roommate Phil started hand-making guitars, and so I would not have known that unless I was following him on Instagram, and that's the story of how he literally yesterday just finished hand-making a guitar for me that's going to get sent to me, and so, like, I am beyond excited about that. That is the coolest thing ever. But then, like, at the same time, like, I'll sit on Instagram and, you know, scroll through the reels and stuff. And I have, like, a timer on my social media. And I've been, like, blowing past that more often recently. And I hate to admit that. But I don't know. It's weird, because, like, there's an extent where you want that release and that dopamine hit. And I think that in certain moderations that can be helpful and, like, some form of stress relief. But on the other side, it tends to suck you in, become addictive, and then you just get more stressed. And I haven't found the right balance, because, like you said, it's a necessary evil. So do you think that there's a good balance, or do we maybe just that we can reach, or is there just not an adequate social media platform that takes everything into account?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I don't think there's actually like a right answer. But the way I feel about it is, it's totally a necessary evil, like, especially in this day and age, while there's literally so many, we've gone through stages of the internet, and we're I've seen somewhere that we're currently in like the tail end of basically the second stage of the internet, and we're about to enter the third, where it's more less like influencer creator focused and more in the hands of the people kind of thing. And while I don't know enough about it to really elaborate on that, it's just I think we're still like, I don't know about you guys, but I literally remember growing up with like dial-up internet.
Like, yeah.
So it's crazy that I've gone from literally being like, Mom, you can't be on the phone, I'm on the internet, to literally just being able to pick up my like my phone and get on the internet with it. So it's just I think it's going to be constantly changing. I really don't think there's ever going to be a stagnant, like, this is the balance, this is how you do it. It's always going to be different for every person, and for what's right for one creator, one person, whatever they're trying to, whatever message they're trying to get out there is going to be different for another. Like, and it's also, even on that note, I really hope to see more of this in social media, in the direction that it's going, of just like less emphasis on the, I don't want to call it perfection, but just the aestheticness of all of it. Like the fact that your life has to be like curated and perfect and like you have to fit in a little box. And it's like, no, we are dynamic beings. You can have a minimalist kitchen and then you walk into the bedroom and holy shit, look at all your tchotchkes and knickknacks. Like, I love it. Maximalism. Awesome. But it's really, it's going to be an ever flowing, just find the balance in that moment and don't be hard on yourself if you don't feel perfectly balanced kind of thing. Cause in the grand scheme of things, life's always going to be changing and it's not going to be one right answer for your engagement on the internet for anyone. And of course, I'm sure there are people out there that would be like, no, I'm a marketing specialist and this is how to do it. And it's just like, sweet. How long is that going to be applicable for?
Yeah.
So,
That's a good point too. Even if you figure it out, that shit's always changing.
Yeah. So it's like, in recent years, like this is the first, I think I'm on like month 6 or 7, I want to say. I had life really crash and burn back in like July of 2021, and I've just kind of started picking up the pieces, but in a less forced way, more in like a chosen, like, I don't need to pick this up because other people are expecting me to. I need to pick this up because I need to, for my own sanity and my own being. And it's just so interesting how I still have goals and aspirations and things that I want to accomplish, but it's so much more like flexible and focused on that like present moment balance of just like, you know what? Like even today, I overloaded my day today, opened at Starbucks, worked an 8-hour day, went to the dentist. Now I'm here. And it's just like, you know what? That's a little much for me. And granted, maybe other days when I'm feeling more up to it, that'll be perfect. But it's really just waking up and kind of setting those goals. And it's less of like, I need to be a certain way to achieve this goal. It's more of just like, what habits can I set myself up to better point myself in the direction of that goal? Because, like, of course I want. Eventually, my aspiration with the whole pottery business thing is I'd love to have a storefront one day. Absolutely love it. If I could have one of those, like, Bob's Burgers type situations where my apartment's above my pottery studio, that'd be so nice.
Perfect.
Yeah. But that's, I don't even have a timeline on that. It's kind of like, I don't even know if I'll ever be able to afford a house in my lifetime, let alone, like, a double whammy storefront studio with an apartment. But for now, I'm really just content with the fact that I can kind of wake up one day, do my scheduled corporate whatever, and then clock out and decide, do I feel like driving the 30-minute commute over to my studio? Or do I want to save that decision for an hour from now? Or it's kind of just Some people would call it flying by the seat of my pants, and I won't deny that is one way to describe it. But I, for the first time in a long time, it's been like, that's okay. It's okay to just not really know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. I'm happy you said that, because it's definitely something I've kind of struggled with the past couple months of just like, yeah, but what are you doing? And it's just like, that's okay. And I feel like it's a tough thing to, you know, get comfortable with, because like I feel like you can get comfortable with it for a while, and then you get like little pockets where you're just like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. And then you're just like, why am I freaking out? And then you can kind of glide back into it, but it's just, you know,
but
finding the balance with
the,
everything.
Yeah, I've even had the reverse happen of when I've had such a structured life and such a structured like timing and goals and like mile markers to kind of check in at. And then I've had that same existential oh shit moment of like, I'm mm-hmm. not doing what I love. Like, I'm literally just following rules by the book. And so yep. it's like, it's, I think it's just part of the human condition. Like, mm-hmm. it's literally, no matter what we're doing, we're always gonna be able to like turn on that meta lens and be like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah. Like,
no matter where you are, it's just, and if you don't have that questioning, I don't even want to know what's going on in that person's head, because I feel like I wouldn't, I don't know, part of my human condition and connection is like realizing I see myself in everyone pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
It's just pieces and parts, and it isn't consistent, and that's okay. Like, I just I don't know, there's a lot of self-assuredness, especially that's even tying back to the social media thing, like the fact that social media is just a piece of that person's life, and
mm-hmm.
if they're the same person that they appear to be on social media, that is some hella impressive consistency. So,
mm-hmm.
But that's not really my goal to achieve that ever. I will post when I feel like posting, and not when I don't. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think we talked about that with Cameron, too, who does graphic design, and he kind of, you know, sometimes is under the stress of just like, oh, if I don't post something by, like, X time, then I'm not going to get X amount of reviews, and, like, he's doing graphic design full-time, so some of his livelihood, like, depends on that to an extent. So it's such a weird thing, and I think that it just kind of depends on, you know, again, we're just like talking about like finding a balance, and it's just that balance is going to change day to day, month to month, like chapter to chapter in your life. But then, like, I think also I liked the what you're talking about, how you're kind of picking up the pieces for what you need. And I feel like the pandemic was actually a really good opportunity for a lot of people to do that. And so it has been exciting to see people that I know or we know that, you know, previously didn't pick up like a creative hobby or endeavor or something, or didn't have to be like quote unquote specifically creative, but like just watching people spend their free time doing something and trying something new. And so that was one thing that was really exciting. And like you said, it was really nice to see that on social media, as well as a lot of social media breaks, I think, during the pandemic. And so I felt like for at least a little bit, we did have a truly more authentic world, because everyone had to take a step back and really reevaluate, what am I doing? And does it make me happy? But unfortunately, it feels like we're kind of falling back into the whole rise and grind mentality life. And
yeah, and not to like point fingers or pretend that I really know what I'm talking about, but man, I don't have any better ideas, don't get me wrong, but
mm-hmm.
the whole, I feel like I can trace most societal behavior back to capitalism.
Yep.
Like, Instagram algorithms, the whole thing, like your friend Cameron saying like he mm-hmm. needs to post at this time, otherwise the algorithm's gonna kick him out and not give him any views or whatever.
Yep.
And that's BS, and that's all because whoever at Instagram found that algorithm that increased engagement or whatever is now like a rule right now, and mm-hmm. it's all because of money. And it's like, I get it, money is important, we can't live off of like a barter and trade kind of system, but it's definitely like, I don't want to pretend to have the answers, I like pointing that very vague finger at capitalism. Well, so.
Oh, I'm not so vague about it. That's I love that that's actually kind of been a bit of a recurring theme on this podcast too.
Who's getting the most attention on Instagram right now? And let's put our product in their hands. Like, that's all it fucking is,
dude. And all of life is that way. It's like, on a totally separate note, I just keep. I'm both aware of it because it just happened a week ago. I got it was a minor surgery, and so to try to loop it in to capitalism, like literally, we're all familiar with Medicaid. Yeah, poor people get free healthcare. Cool. And about two and a half years ago, I got kicked out of Medicaid because I made about $500 more than the cutoff.
Oh, jeez. Like,
and so I panicked, and I really needed a very specific set of services at the time. And so I found a plan through a private healthcare, health insurance, that I ended up paying $10,000 out of pocket for the following year. So it's like, okay, I make $500 more than the cutoff, so now I'm going to spend basically half of what I make in a year on private health insurance. Like, that makes no sense to me. And now I re-enrolled in the whole Medicaid thing, and lo and behold, I literally had cancer. It's just like, I had a stage 2 melanoma on my skin that they had to take out. And I was just like, bro, like, and I just think it's so ridiculous that I get it. Medicaid's not a perfect system, but it's still like, I literally went to the dermatologist through this private healthcare place, and they didn't do what they needed to. And even if they did, I probably would have had to pay so much money that I didn't have. And now that I finally got an appointment with Medicaid, like, it's a little more waiting time, but at least they're thorough. They're like, oh yeah, we should take care of that before it like really blows up. And I'm like, what the heck? Like,
bro.
So, like, I'm so salty at the whole, all of everything.
It's no fucking kidding. Yeah. Shit.
So,
Well,
but you know what? I'll wake up tomorrow morning and go sell some sugar milk to some coffee gremlins, so I can pay my rent. It's gonna be great.
Sugar milk to coffee gremlins. Well, I'm glad you're okay. But like,
yeah. Woof. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's it sounds scary, but melanomas are common, and I have that skin type. And luckily, it's a very localized kind of issue. So it's like they did what they needed to do, and I shouldn't have any problems, provided I take precautions in the sun. So
yes,
it's just crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Yeah. It's like, what did I spend all that money for, trying to be healthy?
Wow.
Yeah. But healthcare for all is just a bonkers idea.
Oh, totally. Good God.
Yeah.
Anyways, art is nice. Art keeps me sane. I don't really know how to tie this back in. I feel like I totally threw a spoke in the train of thought.
No, we're here for rants. That's cool. Like 90% of the point. And
awesome.
Yeah.
I just know I'm gonna like listen back to this podcast. I still have not. I haven't heard my voice enough outside of my own head that it's like a familiar sound to me. So I know I'm going to listen to this podcast and be like, holy crap, that's what I sound like? Like, it's fine, I've accepted it. It
doesn't usually go away.
No, it's so strange. Doesn't go away. Awesome. That's comforting in a way.
Yeah, no, it's almost like you tolerate it, at least from my perspective. That's how I do it. I'm just like, for me, like specific recordings, like they have to like age almost, and some of them don't age, and I just never listen to them ever again. Even if they're out in any kind of public forum, there's some of them that are out there from like way, way back, and I am just too scared to go look at them again, or listen to them. But then there's some of them where it's just like, I don't know, hearing your own voice is kind of weird, but I feel like that's also how it goes with, like, just creating anything.
Well, so, like, yeah, I was actually about to tie that back to, like, my start in ceramics literally was in high school. And thinking back to who I was in high school, like, I don't totally cringe when I look at that work from way back when, but it's still just, I cringe at the memory of who I was when I was creating that. And so it's just very kind of, I don't know, reminiscent maybe of just the versions of myself that I have been. And even on the note of, like, listening to your own voice from back then or refusing to listen to your own voice from back then, it's just very much like a, wow, everyone ages and no one stops unless, you know, it's the big stop. So it's, yeah, and I, even on that note, it makes me, for the, this is another thing that I never thought I would be able to say, but I am so excited to see what other versions of myself are to come. And, cause I realized that, like, of course I'm feeling stable now, and I did, change doesn't need instability necessarily. It's just, I feel like there's a lot to look forward to. There's a lot to be done in the world, but it's also not just my job. It's, I'd rather just have my job be cope with this, live with the world that you're in, and make changes where you can. But it's just a lot of discomfort, and spent a lot of my life really disliking who I was. And despite the fact that I've been a creator and an artist pretty much my entire life, it's nice to finally be in a stage where I can, I don't know, look back at a piece of my art and know that I was not only, like, happy with what I produced, or maybe just, like, using it as a stepping stone to learn more, but also happy with who I was while I was making it. Not that I'm saying you can't be unhappy with yourself and still make art. That's actually more of the point. Make art so you can find out who you are and what you stand for. It's just, yeah, life is messy.
Yes, to say the least, yeah. Like, it's... I also, like, I'm happy to hear that you found, like, got to a point where you're like, I'm excited to see where I go, because I think, like, I definitely, like, look back on my past and go, like, oh, you kind of sucked as a person at, from this chapter to this chapter, and it's like, you know, and I also feel that, I also love that you brought up the age-old question, which came first, the music or the misery, but yeah, it's, yeah, chicken or the egg, which one, but it's, you know, I like the idea of exploring yourself and kind of, like, figuring out who you are through your art kind of thing. Because then it's, you know, it's exciting, and it can make looking back on old projects cringy at times, but it can also be a way to sit back and appreciate, like you said, like, it's a stepping stone on the way to, like, the next version of yourself, into the next chapter.
Yeah, like, how far you've come. It's just, I feel like this is gonna be another one of those, like, spokes in the wheel, but it's, it was a very ever-present part of my life for the past, up until 6 months ago, about a decade before that. Like, I never thought, I'm 27 now, I never ever thought I was gonna make it to 27. Like, literally, I guess it was like 9 years ago, had 3 consecutive attempted suicides, and I've never really believed in the whole, like, destiny or, like, life has a plan. Like, it wasn't successful for a reason. And it's like, I still don't fully believe that, but I'm starting to realize, like, there were parts of me that, while, yes, it was an actual, like, attempt to do the big stop, it, there was still something in my subconscious that must have been like, no, like, maybe just a long pause. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be the big stop, but it's, I haven't been able to realize that without the introspection that has come from those failing, and now being able to look back 9 years and be like, holy shit, shit was shitty, but I'm glad that I kept trying. So it's just, in a super cliche way, it's like, I think everyone had some sort of issues in their late teens, early 20s, or even before that. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be a set range of ages, but it's, I feel like everyone goes through a time where they're just like, man, times were tough. Times are going to be tough again, but now because of that tough time, I'm going to know how to cope with whatever's ahead mm-hmm. even better. And it's just the cliche part that I was going to say is, like, it does get better. Like, of course, mm-hmm. it's not always going to be good, but if you can get through something that was hard back then, better prepares you for something that's going to be hard now and later. And, yeah, it's just super cliche, and I love it, and I hate it, but...
Mm. Well, cliches exist okay. for a reason sometimes, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, things might be hard, but you're getting that fucking XP, bitch.
Yeah.
Leveling up.
That's... The XP. You just... Get those points, rack them up,
experience,
level up.
Yep.
But yeah, just it's literally points. I don't even know how to, there's just been so much that's happened in life and so little that has happened, and it's not like to invalidate anything that has happened to me nor anyone else. It's just so, what's that word, sonder, of just like, I am just one of a billion people in this world. And mm-hmm. it is so up to me to make my life worth living for me. Yeah. And especially knowing that, like, I know I'm not a bad person. I don't have any weird, like, homicidal tendencies. Not going on, like, killing sprees or anything. Yeah. So it's like, I know that whatever I decide to do in life is probably going to be still with the, still with society. Well, society, you know, big overarching word. My community's, in like best intention kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not gonna knowingly be like, yeah, I'm gonna knock down this power line and burn half of Superior in Louisville. Mm-hmm. I know that's a little too soon, Jill. But I don't know how that happened. It's just so disappointing, and I'm trying to tell myself that it wasn't a person who, like, did something. Like, the mm-hmm. stupid, in California, the gender reveal that set half the forest on fire. Mm-hmm. Whatever. It's not whatever, but I... To make my point clear, most people are good at heart. It's just we have to support that good in them to make sure mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. the longevity of the decisions aren't for harm. And unfortunately, there has just been too much idolizing of money... to really allow that to shine, the compassion of humanity to shine. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I think actually that all ties together super well, that it kind of sucks that it takes, like, really shitty situations for the real good to come out. Like, literally, like you were just talking about the Marshall Fire, and then watching how quickly, not just like the community here, like, picked up and supported each other, but also, like, the entire fucking state. And on top of that, people in the whole nation just, like, picked up and they raised, like, basically $1 million to kind of help out or find ways to, like, they literally got to the point with physical donations that they had to tell people, don't bring stuff in. We don't have anything else, any place to put everything. And it's just, like, you know, it's shitty that it took something so devastating to really show that, you know, deep down people are good, kind of thing. But yeah, like, the, like, care is always there, but the societal focus is elsewhere, unless it absolutely needs to be on what it should be focused on the entire time.
Absolutely. And of course there's going to be moments of falter in mm-hmm. whatever utopian society is. I'm not going to even try to amuse that thought. I do believe people are good. I just believe that there's also I know the country has gone through so much of this, a systemic oppression of education and peoples of certain cultures, colors, religions, whatever. And it's really sad realizing that, like, I not only am privileged to have a pottery studio to make pottery, but I'm also very privileged for the fact that I did a very rigorous and educational high school program that led me into a very worldly bachelor's degree and So, like, I'm not fully woke, but I like to think I'm at least aware of how unaware I can be. And there are just so many people who have been trained to really not even think about that, to even think that there's more to the world than what's inside their head.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Kind of existential there. Both of the animals have joined me now. Pinchy, Penny.
It's a party.
Clan's all here. It's because the sun's going down and they're like, dinner? So, where'd Kimchi go? Hi!
Oh my gosh, your pet's name is Kimchi.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It is Kimchi. He's so good boy.
Cute.
Buddy.
Yeah. Another cliche to, I don't know if we're necessarily on the path of like wrapping things up or not. I'm just partially nervous that Zach's going to get home too and be like, hey. Like, he knows that this is what I'm doing right now, but he's still. It's another thing that is super cliche, and I have tried to start practicing in a less judgmental manner. Just the whole practice of gratitude, of just like, I didn't ask for my situation in any way, shape, or form, and it's not always ideal, but holy crap, I am so happy that I have what I do and the people in my life and the just influences that are here now, in the past, and later, because, well, of course, like I've already mentioned, I didn't love who I was in the past. It was a lot of turmoil, and I don't doubt that there will never be turmoil in my life again. It's just, I feel like it's really, I'm very grateful that it has set me up to tackle life, art, and whatever the future holds, however I might handle it. And it's kind of that surrender almost of just like, thank you for the opportunity and the continued everything. Kimchi, please say something. No? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that's such a, like, a hard thing, too. And it's also, like, there's some of those things that feel, like, cliche, but, like, an awkward, too, to kind of just help your approach or, like, mindset, too. Like, positive self-talk, I found, like, it's just, like, a super awkward thing to approach. But then you notice, like, little things where you just, like, you remember, like, a random memory and you're just like, oh, I hate myself, I suck. And then you're just like, no, you've gotten better, and the reason you're embarrassed is because you've grown. Like,
yeah. Or even it's finding what works for you to like really digest that coping skill. Because for the longest time, I've been in and out of therapy. Well, not in and out. Mostly in therapy for the past decade. And I had one therapist recommend, like, wow, like, your internal dialogue is really bad. Like, really negative. And I'm just like, I know. it's not on purpose. And so she tried to recommend just putting little sticky notes everywhere of just like, and they were like, at first the ones that I hated were the ones like, you are beautiful inside and out. And it's just like, oh, okay. And it's just kind of grown into, I don't have to have them presently everywhere now, but it was the ones that made me cringe that ultimately led to ones that were actually helpful.
Yes.
Like, there's no such thing as perfection, and striving for it is not necessarily futile, but, like, you can make progress without ever having a goal. Like, there can always be forward movement. You don't have to be like, I'm going here. It's just like, so one of the big ones was progress, not perfection. Mm-hmm. And, that sticky note, as cliche as it might be, has infiltrated my subconscious now and has helped me overcome a lot of really judgmental self-talk of just like, even in pottery, of just like, this is shit. Like, there are, I cannot tell you how many times I've sat down at the wheel after not throwing for whatever extended period of time. It's honestly, after like 5 days, my body doesn't forget, but it becomes like I have to warm up again. And I'll sit down at the wheel with like all my little wedged balls of clay ready to go. And it's so frustrating when I sit down and I have six balls of clay ready to go. and I end up with one finished piece because I end up overworking, overstressing about, like, it needs to be this shape. And it's just like, pottery is one of those things that, like, once you learn the materials itself, like, you kind of get a sense for what it can and can't do. And of course, there are always stretching the boundaries, but, like, one of the weird things is having a strict idea of something that you really want without practicing it first is pretty much impossible. Like, you have to figure out what the clay is saying to you and when in order to get what you are expecting. And so it's just, and it's really similar with, like, people, I think. Like, literally just trying to prep them to be, like, I don't know, I'm not a parent, but I've worked in childcare. Like, setting ground rules for children, like, hey, these are my expectations for your behavior, and these are the consequences if you don't meet those expectations. Then chances are you're probably not going to have as many problems if you're just like, hey, kids, let's have fun. That's a totally weird metaphor, clay and children, and it's more about internal expectations.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if it fits the shoe, it fits. Like,
it's a... And so, I don't know. I don't remember where that started, but I just... Things don't always work out. I'm not going to try to trace it back to my original thought because it's gone.
Yeah. I think it's a lot of the progress, not perfection kind of thing. You were talking about goals and stuff earlier on, and so I think that that's one of the things that's, I think, tough to approach, because you can set these goals, but then, you know, if you don't accomplish that goal, that's, you know, not reaching that perfection kind of thing. And so I think it's very hard to kind of draw that line where it's just, you know, healthy in between, where you're not holding yourself, like, too accountable to the point where you're just going to break yourself down and be hard on yourself, but also, like, having those goals so you can, like, keep going and, like, push yourself a little bit.
Yeah. And so make, I think, the that progress that you expect to make, more or less.
Yeah.
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 It's, yeah, it's really, I know we've said it a lot in this past, like, hour and 20 minutes or something. But it really is about, like, balance. Just finding the appropriate balance for whatever your life is like in that moment.
Yeah. What works for one person doesn't always work for another, so.
Yeah. Trends are trends for a reason. Like, it is a common thing among many people, but that doesn't mean it's the hard and fast rule. So, it's just, it's, what's that? My dad has a dadism that he likes to say. I think it's a president quote. Yeah, he has a lot of those. One of them that is actually one of the, like, sticky note worthy kind of things that sometimes works for me is life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
And then the other one is tell people what to do, not how to do it, and they'll surprise you with their ingenuity. Like, I call it a dadism, but I realize it is, like, a presidential quote from someone, one of the presidents.
Which I feel like makes it a dadism, because it's something a dad would be like, oh, well, President so-and-so said this, so you should do it.
Yeah. But, and honestly, that's one of the hardest things for me, because I live a very, or I'm trying to live a very intentional life. And so when I find something that's effective for me, and I find it to be very straightforward and very, like, not necessarily easy, but just effective in its purest definition. And then I am told to, like, delegate or, like, take some off of my plate and ask for help. I have such a hard time being like, hey, can you please do this for me? And then I end up standing there and I'm like, you're doing it wrong. I need you to do it this step. And they're like, no, no, I'm doing the same thing just with my own flair.
Yep.
Just, I feel that.
That's honestly, like, it's not a fear in teaching, because in a teaching environment, it's so, it's already, like, kind of, like, set as an expectation of just, like, especially in art. Like, I just recently applied to an instructor job that I haven't heard back from, but granted, I, everyone is kind of on COVID time now. It's like, takes 7 to 10 business days to hear anything from anyone, which is expected and fine. It's just also kind of like, I want to get stuff done. But, like, in other situations where I've been teaching people, it's very much like, oh no, I expect you to, like, try and fail and try again and get a piece of it that works, but ultimately you're going to have to tweak it again and again and again. That's, again, that's, it traces back to the whole balance. Like, finding what works for you is what life's all about. Like,
yep.
Of course, it's important to have goals in mind, but it's still not like, this is the set path that you must take in order to reach destination. Like, so it's, but yeah, personally, I have a really hard time, in my personal life. Like, I, at, the corporate place that I get a paycheck from, I'm being trained to be a trainer right now. And it's kind of, I'm trying to, like, swing it in my head as like, no, this is like teaching art. Like, just let them figure it out. But at the same time, there's like, there are specific actual steps that are in that sense. And so it's just like, oh no, I actually kind of do have to be that weird micromanagey, like, you must do it this way.
Yeah.
And it's hard because the person who trained me, I really like them as a person. They just, were very much not a good, trainer, which is fine. I just, it's kind of, it's a perspective of just like, look at how much growth there could be. So, yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good.
we are approaching that time. So I think we got two requests or one request, one question.
Yeah.
Where can we find you? Do you want to plug your shit really fast?
Oh, sure. Why not?
yes.
So my eventual goal is to have my own, like, domain website kind of situation. But for now, I'm selling my stuff on Etsy. And I am JB Studios Ceramics. The same handle is used on my Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest. But I'm really only active on Etsy and Instagram. So find me at JB Studio Ceramics on Etsy and Instagram.
Perfect.
Hell cool. Yeah.
Also, go follow her. She's very talented.
Yes.
I don't post that often, but I am on the app all the time. So if you talk to me, I'll talk back.
Response well, time, five to seven business days.
What's that?
No.
Response time for COVID time. 5 to 7.
No, honestly, it's even shorter. It's like, give me 10 minutes, maybe, and I'll probably swing through the app again.
10 business minutes later.
Yeah.
But in reality, don't have those expectations. I have a life, too.
Yep.
But Patrick and Beth, I'm sorry that I feel like, I don't know, I just jabbered a lot, and I feel like I didn't hear your voice very much. But you're great, and Patrick, it's nice talking to you. And I hope that I will actually, like, this gives me reason, more reason to, go back and listen to what other conversations you guys have had with other artists, because people are so creative and nice, including you two. So thank you.
Oh. Gosh, you're so nice.
Thank you.
And you've been a wonderful addition to our podcast. No, I don't mind not talking at all. I love hearing you talk. Like, you have so much passion about, like, your project and your effect on, like, the people around you and the things that you make that I just am all here for it. So, thank you.
Hey, yeah, you're welcome. And thank you. And look forward to hearing, seeing you guys in whatever capacity may be in the future.
Yes. Ooh, we do have one more question.
Oh, yeah. What's if you want to
do that, you want to do the honors? Do you always do it? Do you want me to do it?
Oh, no, I always forget.
Oh.
Oh, Patrick. No, I got this. I got this. Hey, Jillian.
Hey, Beth.
What feels like home to you?
What feels like home to me? That's a great question. Home feels like being comfortable with the discomfort of life. I mean, I say that, and then I know that that's going to change in the future, but... Right now, for the moment, it's knowing that, another cliche, this too shall pass, good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
Home feels like the knowledge that everything is going to change, and even the good things you can hold on to and make last as long as you'd like, or as long as they're destined, even though I said earlier I don't believe in destiny, as long as they're really meant to stay in your life. But ultimately, just being comfortable with the growth. Yeah, knowing who you are. I'm gonna stop. Just say it in different ways. Yeah, that's such. Is that like a normal? Is that a normal like sign-off question?
Yeah, that's the one. I think we like accidentally did it in like the third episode, and I'm just like, we're gonna end every episode with that one.
Yeah, I feel like mine doesn't really make sense because it's not a place, it's a feeling, but that kind of is on par with who I am as a person. I can make home like a location pretty much anywhere. It's really just feeling comfortable on the inside and knowing that no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay. Like, times are going to get tough, but I'm going to be okay. Spent the last year trying to mend the way you left me lying wide-eyed in my bed.
Thank you.
You are gonna be okay, bitch. Yes. There's something precious in its design. The way the door shut, but I still can't see through fine.